Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right into part three of The Drunken Lady of Babylon. Now, you know, you could say that it's quite interesting to look at the word drunken and break it down and do a little, well, the separating of the words, the English words. The first two words is DR, or doctor. And surprisingly, the next two words in drunken is UN. Now, we have doctors of government organization, if you will, political doctors that are doctoring the world's ills, trying to cure the world's divisions of nations, of tongues, and to bring them all under one head. So, Dr. UN, and the next three words is kin. Make kin folks, kindred spirits, identical belief system. Dr. UN kin. And in Babylon, there's two words that we could look at there. And division of that word, the first four words, or the four letters of that word, is B-A-B-Y, baby. And the next one is lawn. So let's take baby lawn, will become a victim of the doctors of the UN to bring kinship and make everybody babies, our infant thought system, if you will, into one order. We're going to talk about that drunken lady tonight in part three, where we have given you the first two parts and trying to give you some word identification of how that the beast power has brought a name of a Greek god in antiquity. Actually, two names. We gave you the two names, Ea and Zeus, Jesus. We've proved to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that that name corresponds today to the mark of the beast. Now, people are looking for a government organization to implant chips and things, but the Bible says it's a name, and this name has a number. This name is attached to power. All the world will worship it and be pressed into it. So these doctors of the UN will bring kin to the baby that they've hatched out of the 23rd chapter of their imagination and make kin folks out of us all. Those who resist are going to be herded off to some concentration camp, to slave labor, to work for the state, not even third-class citizens. Let's go to the fourth-class rate of those who are opposing to receive the mark of the name in a religious organization of doctors at the United Nations, the UN, that will bring about the kinship of one universal religion. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm going to get into a face tonight that will go beyond some of the things that you have probably been exposed to. Now, there is a familiar doctrine, and all these doctrines that oppose the true doctrine, I'm going to give you a contrasting view of the thousand-year reign, the way the Bible describes the timeline, and then give you the opposing view of the doctors or the drunken lady of Babylon. And so then, by contrasting the paradox of the opposites, because, you know, the Bible said they will cast truth to the ground. It will become irrelevant in the last days against the grain. Doesn't seem right. They hadn't heard it before. It's something new. Oh, we don't believe that. We believe this all of our life. Mom and Dad believed it. You see, once they establish a precedent of falsehood, and they cause everybody to receive a mark and wonder after the name of the beast that is actually a false blaspheming name, as opposed to the true name that was left out of the Bible. Yeah, we got a Bible. It's called Holy. But it doesn't contain the divine name of the Hebrew God, Yahweh. It was left out intentionally so that the masses of people will be ignorant of the name. And then in the last days, when the prophets of Yah were to come back on the scene and pronounce and preach in the great name of Yahweh, the people would be so indoctrinated and so aligned to and alienated from the true name to accept the false name that they'll kill you thinking that they're doing God a service. And this is where we're at today. So you got to stay tuned. Boy, you're going to have a great time tonight with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. You need to call a friend and say, you don't want to miss this message. I'm going to explain to you in the next two messages. This I'm going to try to condense a 10-hour message. We've got this message on a two-hour videotape, but it takes more than 2 hours to get across this message of the thousand-year reign. When is it going to be? Where is it going to be? And how is it going to be? Well, we're going to get into the revelation of the Bible, and we're going to go first to a scripture. Now, listen to this scripture here that is given in the book of Revelations, and it's in Isaiah 26, and we're going to start at the 19th verse. Now listen to me well, because if you get lost in the shuffle here, this is a very complicated issue, and for me to teach it to a radio audience as opposed to if you came to the Tabernacles and listened to me teach using the whiteboard, and to describe to you in detail and framework it and put it in paragraphical sequences and bring it together in collective teaching, you could see it with your own eyes. Now, you've got to take your ears, let your eyes follow me through the scriptures, and start with me in Isaiah chapter 26. And I'm going to start at the 19th verse. Isaiah 26, the 19th verse. Now, we're going to talk about a resurrection. Here, it describes a God that will create a resurrection in the earth and deliver some people out in this resurrection. They're going to raise with him in his dead body. Now, ladies and gentlemen, think about this. Now, let me sequence it for you. There's only going to be two resurrections. One was the resurrection of Christ, and the other is the resurrection of the saints when he comes or when he returns. That's the only two resurrections. Do not be lured into thinking that there's more than two resurrections. Christ in his own personal resurrection. Question is, did anybody raise with Christ in his first resurrection? Oh, that's a $64 question. Nobody will ever tell you. You'll hear exclusively on the Shepherd's Call Revelation Ministry. where we bring forth things that's been kept secret from the foundation of the world, because we've been called for the last day anointed to come up on the earth and witness in the great, magnanimous, magnificent, awesome, powerful, revelating name of Yahweh. At the name of Yahweh, every knee shall bow. Says it should bow in Isaiah, and shall bow in Revelation. That means you have a proof time. You can bow the knee now with, you got a choice, or you don't have to bow to this name. Now, if you don't bow to it now, you'll bow to it later, and you'll wish you did. Well, in the resurrection sequence, the same sequence, there was a people, I'm going to prove to you who those people were, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And we're going to present the collective proof and a testimony that others, other than Christ, got up in the first resurrection. So we're going to start with the prophetic. The word Isaiah means, my God is Yahweh. I want you to remember that as I repeat it. Isaiah, remember this, means, my God is Yahweh. The I-A-H should have been Y-A-H. You see, the English has no J in 1611. And so they borrowed from the Greek I, which was a substitute for the transliteration of the Hebrew Y. So when you see an I, as recorded in Isaiah, I-A-H, and the Isaiah, this should be Y-A-H. And the Y is an indefinite, that the name of the prophet is attached to the name that he prophesies in. Isaiah was a prophet of Yahweh. All the ancient prophets in the Hebrew language, Jeremiah, Micah, Yah, Isaiah, all these were descriptive honors of prophesying for Yahweh, speaking for Yahweh, writing for Yahweh, Yahweh's servants, Yahweh's prophets, not Jesus' prophets. Not one time will you find the name Jesus or Jesus written in the Old Testament. You'll only find him there in the New Testament, that was in a secret chamber hatched out of the 23rd chapter of some man's imagination by combining two gods to get one, to create a name that people on the earth would bow to, follow after, and receive the mark in their forehead or in their mind, and sing it and shout it and praise it from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Oh my, I feel the Shekinah glory coming down from heaven as a mighty rushing wind to fill the heart of the prophet and the prophets that will prophesy in the last days, as it says in the 19th verse of the 26th chapter, thy dead men shall live. Who? What dead men? Only men? Yes. Only men. We're going to prove to you that in the first resurrection, that only males, specifically, 144,000 specifically, got up with him, that is Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, Yahweh Shua in a flesh body. They got up together with him. And together with him, their dead bodies, thy dead body, thy dead men shall live, and together with my dead body. Here, God Almighty, speaking through Isaiah, is speaking about a future resurrection of him and others. Well, were they others? Does the Bible claim that there were others that got up with Christ in the first resurrection? Yes. And there's where we're going to go into the intrigue and the mystery and formulate this example for you tonight and the message, the drunken lady versus the thousand-year reign. Everything that Yahweh proposed, the drunken lady of Babylon, has always resisted and formulated an antidote for the truth and brought the lie in, and people would rather believe a lie and be damned than to believe the truth and suffer for it, because they want peace, they want harmony. No man wants to argue every time he goes to a meeting place and hear arguments. But ladies and gentlemen, it would be the best time you ever spent to hear this debated and argued from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, if only they would let the prophets of God, the prophets of Almighty Yahweh, into the churches and into the assemblies to preach or contrast with truth against the lie that they're purporting in the 501(c)(3) establishment across the world, where the Bible says there is a seem-right way, and to shun or refrain your feet from walking in the broad way, where everything is compatible, where everything is agreeable, where everything is humanistically, humanism, a God of humanist terms, not a racial God of covenant contract with, for, and about the house of Israel and the lost sheep thereof. Oh, how we've been taken into the multicultural humanist views of religion with a false name that will cause all the earth to wonder after this religious name that was promoted and brought forth with a cunning deception of 1,000 years of darkness to cover 1,000 years of light in the millennial kingdom. All together with my dead body, they shall arise and they shall awake and sing. Well, is the Bible in fulfillment agreement? Is there scriptures to relate that there was a people redeemed from the earth that sung a new song? We'll find out later on as we go along in the thousand-year reign message versus the 1,000 dark years of Babylon, the drunken lady. Remember now, she came and plunged the earth intentionally into the dark ages for 1,000 years that no light shined in Revelation, and they destroyed, hid, purposely rejected the name of Yahweh. And remember Matthew 23:13. Remember this quote. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, and neither will you suffer them that are entering to go in. Now listen to me again. I'll repeat that. That's worth repeating for you to remember. That man will deceive you with smooth speech and enticing words and a collective religious dogma of multicultural humanist views other than the racial covenant truth of the house of Israel and the true Hebrew God, Yahweh, by giving you a name that seems right and hiding the name that is right. Luke 11:44. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you are as graves, which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. These people that stand in a 501(c)(3) establishment and preach a sweet, loving Jesus that loves everybody on the earth equally and has no respect of persons, and has no covenant identity with any particular family in the earth. These are the ones that are pronounced a great pharisaical, hypocritical woe upon them, for they shut up the kingdom rather than reveal the truth of the kingdom and have you believe in a lie and running from the truth. Most people are afraid of my ministry. They're afraid of my teaching. They can't handle it. It's against grandma and grandpa. Well, the Bible says if you love the praise of men more than you love the praise of Yah, you're not worthy of Yah. Are you tonight willing to give up your eternal destiny with the Father that's coming back in the second resurrection to get those who have kept the faith and haven't denied his true name and have shunned the name of a beast? You say, well, that's a chip, Pastor Buddy. My pastor told me that it could probably be something off of one of them dreaded, you know what, computer geniuses that we've got running around, and they're going to stick a microchip under my thumbnail or somewhere on my body, and, you know, and then they're going to scan me at the checkout lane when I buy and eat, drink, and be merry. Ladies and gentlemen, how dumb do we have to be, and how possessed with fear, which brings torment, ignorance, and confusion, and that's pure drunken Babylon. The drunken lady of Babylon and these fearmongers and these traditional thinkers and preachers and paganistic rituals. Oh, my God, I get so angry. Not at those who have been deceived, but those who are doing the deceiving, called the Pharisees and the hypocrites. And the 501c modern now agenda preachers are just like they was in the days of Isaiah when they killed him for preaching against their proper humanist, multicultural, let's be pointed to all the nations around about. And that's what got Israel in trouble. When they want to whore in from Yahweh and embrace the universal gods of paganism, and Zeus is one of them, and EA is one of them, and EA Zeus is one of them now. Yet he's been modified to sound like the sweetest name that you know, and you praise it every Sunday in Sunday school, and you listen to some dried up last year's Birdsmith preacher or teacher or some foolish woman that's got a little Sunday school quarterly teaching you some Kingdom Hall principles and praising the name of Jesus when you ought to be in tune with the Hebrew name of the great God Almighty, the magnificent, magnanimous, glorious, almighty name of Yah. It's a name above every name, to it every knee shall bow. And these who are drunken in Babylon, intoxicated on the wine of multicultural, let's all come together in the Dr. UN kinship. Now let me repeat that. That come together in this agenda of a religion to be spawned. What religion do you think that will, when the UN formulates the final pact of this kinship or kindred spirits, and we're all one, we are the world family, nobody excluded? Ladies and gentlemen, this is so sad and so unbelievable that we have got into this apostate condition. The very word apostate in the Greek language spells 666. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to look at some of the names that are very prominent in both the Greek and the Hebrew language, if you take the numerification of both languages and spell out William Jefferson Clinton, you get 666. These are the people that have formulated through secret rituals a political agenda. Now they're using the fear of terrorism. Oh, you've got to sign your rights away. Give us your rights. A big brother will protect you. The doctor of UN kinship is what we need. We need a nation, a conglomerate, a one world order, a rule, a thought process, a religious God of multicultural dimensions that we can bow to and worship may cause all the world to wonder after the name of a beast. It's not a chip. You can be tagged with all the implants you want. It has nothing to do with your spiritual birth into the kingdom. But I guarantee you one thing, if you are implanted with a false name, if you are indoctrinated with the false doctrine of the false prophets, these scribes and these Pharisees and these hypocrites, of modern religion. Multicultural, we are the world. God loves everybody. Smile. God loves you. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever read the Bible? Don't you know that God is the author of more killing than any one upon the earth? There is not an army that's marched in history that can compare to the killing that God has killed the disobedient, the unthankful, and the unholy. And God himself said, I will destroy the nations of the heathen around you who fear not my name. But those of you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with the healing in its wings to lift you up above the mire of multiculturalism and give you a grit and a backbone, with a mouth to confess with boldness that you love Yahweh above all gods in the earth. And unless you have that boldness within you, and unless you have that testimony, that knowledge in your forehead, remember, you shall be hated of all nations for his name. The name of Jesus is loved and adorned around the world in all religious circles and acknowledged as the great Christian faith of a risen Savior. Well, is that the Savior that rose? It was that his name together with my dead body? Now, let's go, if you will. Now, we're talking about a 1,000-year reign. And remember, I said somebody's going to get up with him. And they're going to sing. And listen here. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust, the dead. Together with my dead body they shall arise. That's Christ speaking, future, through Isaiah. That he's speaking about, through his anointed wisdom, that he would be killed, he would be buried. The third day he would raise. And with him would come out of the earth, out of the graves, a people, all males, that would sing and live with him for 1,000 years. Oh my, now are we getting somewhere or not? Praise Yahweh. Well, here we go. And Matthew chapter 2, notice what happens. And when Herod, this is Matthew chapter 2, 16, we're going to find out how Yahweh got him a bride. We're going to prove that he did get a bride. Yahweh Shua in the flesh body, the Son that came in the Father's name and was rejected. They killed him. How long do you think he'd live today? If he came back and taught the same message, he wouldn't live for 33 minutes, let alone 33 years, because of the New World Order and all the Christians that's supporting it. It'd be Christians that would murder the real true God today because they don't recognize his name. They would actually fight against and will fight against the coming of Yahweh to support Jesus and the beast power that give this image or this false image a name that people would worship and wonder and receive its mark in their forehead or in their hand and worship it around the world day and night and sing its praises. A God that can't live, a God that never has lived, a God that is not even the hay, wood, or stubble. Don't exist. It's a figment of the 23rd chapter of the evil intention powers of the 1,000 years of the Dark Ages where they hatched up a name that you could live by, but you're dead. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get into true resurrection, you've got to get in the name. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. Proverbs 14:10. I'm going to repeat that. The name, it says Lord in the King James Bible. Remove Lord out of your mentality. Lord is a generic term hatched up again by the evil ones to give you a substitute name or title to address the deity. And when you do that, you're addressing B-A-A-L, which is L-O-R-D. And you're leaving out Y-H-V-H. Yahweh. Isn't that telling you something here? That this name that is promoted in the Bible is not promoted in the New Testament Bible. It was left out, obviously, and then they did a decoding, a substitute name, into the Old Testament, and therefore they wiped out, rejected the name of Yahweh in favor of a false name that would be worshipped and adorned, and this is the name This is the name that the whole world received as a mark. And this is the final mark name, because Satan himself will appear in the end of this age. And he will sit in a stone mortar temple that's built by the other half of the Antichrist system. There's two parts to this, ladies and gentlemen. We got the drunken lady on one side and the drunken lady on the other side. Oh, yes. You see, if Satan can't get you with a right hand, he'll knock you out and sucker punch you with a left. And so... elected, and you're going to run over there and vote, and you think your vote's going to count, when the man that they have hand-picked will be pre-picked before the election. And this is not to discourage you from voting, because if you vote in a Democrat process, you're just voting in a mob rule assembly. But it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. We found that out in the last election. You're going to find it out in this election. There are going to be quite a few surprises for you in this coming election. No more than 60 or 75 days down the road, you're going to find out some great things are going to happen during this election. And it's going to be 6 of 1, half a dozen the other, or the same old, the satanic powers. And these people carry Bibles. But I guarantee you, you'll never hear them confess a living, risen Savior, Yahweh Shua. Never. Oh, they'll talk about God. But remember, Satan is the god of this earth. And Satan, the god of this word, earth, will come and sit in a temple that's going to be purposely built for this god, and he'll have his name there. That very name that's been slung about every day will be sitting there, and that's who he's going to say he is. And here come the dumb sheep, along with the rest of the heathen of the world, and all the multicultural races of the earth will bow the knee to him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book and haven't received the mark of the beast. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know where I will end up tonight in this message, but I do know one thing. I pray that Yahweh will open your eyes to the revelation of the drunken lady and her purpose and her intentions, and what she has perpetrated to do is to deceive the very elect. Listen to me now. And he shall... Mark 13:27, he shall send his angels and shall gather together his elect. Not the multicultural races all over the earth who are heathen, who will never accept the name, including many Christians that will reject the name themselves, who claim to be right, being led by the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites and the false prophets, who will get in the door and won't go in themselves and hinder them that would, and will bring a name of blasphemy in that the people will paganistically worship all of the pagan holidays with a pagan name and honor the great God, sun god, the great sun god, Zeus. And those that hate the sun god and will do exploits against the sun god have adopted and accepted the name of the sun god and don't even realize it, and then will speak against the whore and hate the whore, these own people. You see, Satan is so deceptive, he'll set up a whore, then have half the people to hate her and half the people to love her. Just like the democratic system of our two-party political system. You can vent one way or the other, but only two choices. You'll either vote Democrat or Republican, and as it goes, we'll get tired of the Republican, and we'll vote that scoundrel out and vote the Democratic scoundrel in. That's trading one scoundrel for another one, because these political men are selling out to the whore and committing fornication with the forces of evil, which are nothing for greedy lucre and gain and lust. But these are the ones that will cast their silver and gold into the streets, because they gathered up and hoarded them up for the last days, and the rust and the canker of the riches will be a witness against them when the true Messiah, Yahweh, oh, what a Hebrew God we've got, the great power, the great fire of 1 Kings 18, where Elijah is his name, not Jah, Elijah, went upon the mountain and challenged the prophets of Baal. This is Pastor Buddy. Upon the mountain of the holy city of New Jerusalem, with the 144,000 proclaiming that they came out of the graves after his resurrection. Now you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I've never read that. Well, we're going to read it for you right now. If you will go to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Now, remember, here we are, before we get out of Matthew, let me set this up for you, that Herod, when he saw that he was wrought, and sent forth and slew all of the children that were in Bethlehem and the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he inquired of the men, which was prophesied by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, in Ramah, northern Galilee, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. 144,000, 12,000 out of each of the tribes, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, were slain, beheaded, and killed for the witness. The first ones to shed blood for the Messiah. These are the ones that are going to sing the new song in the first resurrection. These are the ones that are going to be redeemed from the earth in the first resurrection. And were they redeemed? Christ specifically brought them out as a bride type. Now here is Herod. He plays right into the hand of the foreknowledge of wisdom of Yahweh, when he himself takes it upon himself through a rage of jealousy to kill all of the male children, thy dead men. The children, 2 year old and down, all Israelite males, killed and buried. And when Christ went into hell, or into paradise, a place of the dead, where the dead are kept, these 144,000 male children went down as the first witnesses to die for the Messiah. Remember, he was just a young child himself, just born when Herod tried to kill him. And he slew these 144,000 witnesses into the earth and slayed them, and they went into the grave waiting for the resurrection. And when Christ was killed in like manner, with exception, he was not beheaded. These were beheaded. And the Bible specifically says that there is 144,000 that were beheaded for the word of God and for their testimony. Their testimony was that they were children of Israelite origin, and Herod the Edomite was trying to rid the earth of the Messiah because he feared the kingdom principles that the Messiah would teach when he become a man. And therefore, Yahweh helped the woman. Now, this, we're going to Revelation chapter 12 in series part 2, because we're not going to have time to get into it tonight, but we will go there, and we will conclude this message over there if we can. If not, we'll do another third or fourth part on just this message of a thousand-year reign. I want you to get the whole picture. Together with my dead body shall they arise, Isaiah 26:19. Now, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 27. Here we go. And we'll see when he died. We're going to see, and behold, the veil of the temple after the Messiah, says Jesus in your New Testament. Question that. You have a right to question that. There's no J's in 1611. So it wasn't Jesus. You had to put something else there. Could have been Jesus. Put the Y there and you've got a good start. But it's so close to the true name that the name, it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Why is it that they never dare to show you the name, that superscription that Pilate wrote upon the torture stake? You'll never see that name. You'll see King of the Jews, and that's all you'll see. You'll never see the name. You know why? Because men don't want you to know what Steve wrote up there in Hebrew, in Latin, and Greek, proving that the name Yahweh can be written in all three languages at that time, and still today the name can be written from the three languages, transliterated into the three languages, and written where you know what the name that they put up there. Not Jesus. Christ never knew Jesus. Read the book of Maccabees in the original King James Bible, and you'll see that the Greeks that came in there, that formed the Drunken Lady Fellowship, they wanted Zeus to be God. They despised the Hebrew God and actually thought that Zeus was superior. And although they couldn't stuff out the reformation of the name of Yahweh in the apostolic teaching, they joined it and then changed the name. That's exactly how they did that. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. This is at the death of the Messiah, Yahweh Shua. And the grace were opened. Oh, my God. A deep, mystifying revelation of those who were asleep in the earth are going to awake and sing a new song, and only the 144,000 will sing it. You didn't have part in that resurrection except through the hope and the covenant that the Messiah gave you for the second one. Now, if you don't take his name and marry him like they did, see, they gave their life for the Messiah. They didn't do it voluntarily. They were babes. They were innocent. And unless you become as an innocent babe, you cannot be partakers of the second resurrection. And the only way you're going to have part in the first one is to have the name that he's resurrected in. Listen to me now. Listen to what it says. Verse 52, Isaiah chapter 20, Matthew 27, from Isaiah 26, verse 19. And the graves were opened. Listen to me. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. This is at Christ's resurrection. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever heard any preacher preach to you that there was a resurrection of the saints in the first resurrection? And that this first resurrection is past tense, it's done, gone, it will be no more. And the only resurrection remaining will be the second resurrection. And you must have a part in the first one to be a participant in the second one. I'm going to repeat that. You must, with some spiritual connection, have access, connection, to the first resurrection to have part in the second resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this resurrection. Because the fire of the second won't hurt you. If you receive the mark of the name of Almighty Yahweh, and the only way you can get it is repentance and baptism in the name of Yahweh. It's the only way. No other way. I'll repeat that. The only way that you can get the name of Yahweh in your forehead, spiritually connecting to the covenant plan, is to obey the word and be born of the water and the spirit. This thing. Formation of a watery grave, baptism symbolizes this grave of the first resurrection in the scriptures. And if you have part with that, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin. See, water baptism is for the remission of sin, that you might be sealed with the name of Yahweh in your forehead. So you've got to have a mark. Revelations 22:4 says you must have the mark of the Father in your forehead. Revelations 14 and 1, these 144,000 stood on Mount Zion, New Jerusalem. These dead lived, and they arose. Together with my dead body, they shall arise. Now, notice this. Here is the sweetness and the beauty of a bride and a bridegroom. And came out of the graves, verse 53. These dead, how many? 144,000 that are going to reign with him for 1,000 years. And then the 1,000 years is finished. Satan will be loosed from his prison and returned to the earth in the latter days and will cause the people, they're already getting ready for him, they're getting ready for the coming of Satan not the coming of Yahweh. They're readying themselves for a false god with a false name that will sit in a false temple, and you'll see all these 501(c) preachers head for Jerusalem for pilgrimages and go up and worship. They'll be praised. They'll take the sick and the maimed, the blind. They'll be healed and delivered. You say, can Satan do that, Pastor Buddy? Let me remind you, if Satan can put balls on Job from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, if he has the power to put them on, he has the power to take them off. And the Bible says that he will do miracles and signs and wonders in the sight of the beast power. And this God, who will sit in the temple, showing himself that he's God, and will deceive the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, the icing on the cake is yet to come. He's already got the people deceived, worshiping on a false name, and he'll come in that very name that they worship in. It won't be the name of Almighty Yahweh. It'll be another name, and you know what name that is. And you better be prepared to come out of her, my people, and receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached up to heaven, for all those have been cast into a bed with her and have committed spiritual fornication and received the mark shall receive of my wrath the torment forever and ever. Well, here it is. And they came out of the grave after his resurrection. After his resurrection, these 144,000 as a perfect bride type came out after his resurrection following the Messiah. And we're seeing in Revelation 14:1. Take a look at it. Revelation 14:1. Look at the 144,000. Now, quickly. In Revelation 14:3. Well, I'm just jumping the gun here. Let me go to Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song. Remember Isaiah 26:19 said they would sing a song. Together with my dead body shall they arise, and they will sing a song. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of the nations of Israel. 144,000 that were sealed in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. It will tell you the tribes that they were sealed from, every one of them. Here it says, out of every nation, tongue, and kindred. That's a misprint in the English Bible. It should say, out of the 12 tribes of Israel. For the covenant is twofold and about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, it's a covenant principle, and my people, which are called by my name, not the name of the Jesus, it's another people. The fewest people. We're not the many, ladies and gentlemen, we're the few. And so if you want to sing a new song that they learned, no man can learn it. And they, here it is, and they sung a new song because they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and together with his dead body, they arose. And here it is, Revelation 14:3. And I just got to read you Revelation 14:1. I quoted it to you a while ago, but let me turn there and let me read. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. This is a perfect bride. John saw the bride in John chapter 3. John saw the bride, groom, coming for a bride. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if he didn't get him a bride and the first resurrection, then he ain't got no children in the second one, because you can't get children without a bride. So Christ married his bride, came to their poor bride, got one right out from under the devil's nose, and most Christians don't even know he got one, because they think that the 1,000 years is yet to come when it's already passed. Oh, what marvelous works! No wonder he said, I will hide it from the wise and the prudent and reveal it to babes and sucklings. No wonder. No wonder that he did these things. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, John said. John chapter 3, verse 29. He that has the bride. Who was the bride? the 144,000. Who was the 144,000? The male infants. And never in kingdom of heaven, there's neither male or female. So then he took a bride tuck. This is a bride tuck out of the earth. These were the first ones to shed his blood. And they rose with him, singing a new song with the Father's name of Yahweh in their forehead. And he's coming back in the second resurrection for the children of the bride and the bridegroom that will be birthed into the new kingdom. Because the kingdom of heaven is preached and men are pressed into it. And they will be inheritors or partakers of the first resurrection with the name of Yahweh in their foreheads when he returns in the second resurrection after Satan has deceived almost the very elect. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, they sung a new song. And verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the beast and the elders, and no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. I want to repeat that. Redeemed means they were taken out of the earth. In the first resurrection, Christ took the 144,000 infants that were killed, the babes at the type of his kingdom, and unless you become a babe, you will not enter in. And if you will read the scriptures and study, or have a preacher that knows the scriptures, will preach to you the revelations and the new things, it will be strange to your ear because you've already been indoctrinated with the things of the world and the teaching of the world, a seem right way. And when the truth comes, it's so hard for the truth, because the truth is the one that will set you free. Now, quickly, one more scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. And they cried with a loud voice, these are the 144,000 the bride died. How long, O Yahweh, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? They shed their blood, Herod did. On them that dwell on the earth, and white robes were given to them. Oh, these are the ones that were with him on the mount of Mount Zion, New Jerusalem. And these are they that were beheaded for the word of God. And there you have the beheading of Herod that got a crop, if you will, a resurrectional crop. Yahweh took the 144,000 that Herod killed, the little babes that went into the grave, into paradise, and he resurrected them, and they came out after his resurrection, followed him into heaven, and we see him here singing a new song with Yahweh Shua as he stands on Mount Zion with his Father's name in his forehead, and they had the name of Yahweh written in their forehead, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Part 2, next Sunday night. You don't want to miss it. I'm going into Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to finalize the great resurrectional myth of the Antichrist teaching versus the truth resurrection of Christ in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now listen to me as I read here in the book of Corinthians as it is stated. Now, notice this. By the terms of the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, that's first resurrection, and become the first fruits. There's your first fruits. These are the first fruits of them that slept, the 144,000 that came out of the grave after his resurrection, and they appeared in the holy city. They reigned with him 1,000 years. I'm going to explain 1,000 years to you. And when Christ is due to return, very close approximate, you'll know the rest of the story about the 1,000 years and the drunken lady in opposition with a doctrine that seems right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to write me tonight, you can write me simply, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Call me tonight. I'm live. We are here in the 29th day of August. This is Sunday evening. We're live on WWCR around the world. The mighty Christian voice that goes around the world for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Pastor Buddy sitting in here tonight with you. Now, call me, area code 423-626-2172. We're on the Eastern time zone, so you know, you hear this program, we'll be off here about 9 o'clock in about 3 minutes, and you can give us a call. That's area code 423-626-2172. And let me remind you, we need your help. Please send your tithes and offerings in to help us get this truth. The rest of the story, the end day prophecies of truth, coming through the house of Israel. This is Pastor Buddy, and I'll tell you, I'll see you on down the line, praise Yahweh, where Yahweh will give you the blessings of the resurrected Jew that will stand with him on the day of eternity when you can hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servants. You've kept the faith, and you haven't denied my name. Why? Because I can see your name emblazed in your forehead by your act of faith when you repented and was baptized in the name. This is Pastor Buddy. I'll see you next Sunday night on 507 All Around the World with the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless.